Well, tonight we shall continue the study of the Shorter Catechism, and especially question 38. We are going to look at the subject of resurrection, judgment, and enjoyment. Now let me read to you the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, again, verse 51. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. In the New King James Version, "Behold, look, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Paul is here speaking to Christian people. And of course, when Paul said that, he was still alive, and the people who heard this letter, and they knew Jesus would come back, they did not know when. But should it not be our hope that the Lord Jesus may come back in our lifetime? It may be so, it may not be so. But it will be glorious if Jesus does come again, and that we don't have to go through death. And Paul says here, in that case, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. And then the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. This body that must die will put on immortality. Would it not be most wonderful, dear friends, that if we are so blessed that we don't have to die, and that the Lord Jesus would come back in our lifetime, and our bodies shall be changed gloriously, wonderfully. You know, friends, there is a generation of Christian people who shall not see that. We don't know whether we are so blessed to be that generation. But if not, then at least if we are in Christ, we shall be raised with resurrection body. Now last week, as we studied together the Shorter Catechism, we looked at what believers receive from Christ when they die. You notice, I hope you still remember, when believers in Christ die, their bodies and souls are separated, and their souls are made perfectly holy, and immediately pass into glory. But their body, still being united to Christ, rests in the grave until the resurrection. The Bible's teaching is clear. Believers in Christ, when they die, their soul shall be in glory, beholding the glory of Christ. They shall be in heaven, but without the bodies, outside this body. Now that is wonderful enough. But according to the New Testament gospel, that is not good enough. When God set about to save sinners, He wanted to save both bodies and souls. When God made us, He made us bodies and souls. We are not made like angels. We are made to be flesh and bones. And we are meant to enjoy God and serve Him flesh and bones. When sin came, death came along. But when God wanted to save us, He wanted to save us both bodies and souls. And that's why tonight, as we consider what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection, we are told three things. First of all, believers are raised in glory. Resurrection. And that they shall be publicly recognized and declared not guilty. On that day of judgment, they shall be justified, declared not guilty. And then, with bodies and souls united again, they shall be made completely happy in the full enjoyment of God forever. So tonight, we are going to look at these three things. They are the last things. They are our hope. They are important. First of all, resurrection. What do we mean by resurrection? It means coming back to life in the body again. Just as Jesus died and rose again in his body, so shall his own people be raised when he comes again in the body. My dear friends, the resurrection of the body is a unique Christian belief and teaching. Many, many people believe in life after death, outside the body. Well, take for example, traditional Chinese. They believe after a person dies, the soul survives. And that's why you have to wait after the person's death for the person's spirit to return to his little funeral room for a visit, so that when he should come, he will not feel so lonely. All the family members gather together on that night. So the ancient Chinese believe in the survival of the soul after death, and so do many, many people. Somehow we have an instinct to believe that when we die, we are different to dog's death. We don't die like a pig. We don't die and become soil-sore chicken, a roast pig. We survive the death in the soul. However, only the gospel of Christ tells us that there is a resurrection of the body. And this is an essential article of the Christian faith. For example, in the Apostles' Creed, it says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe, the Christian says, in the resurrection of the body. Do you say that, my dear friends? We believe in the resurrection of the body because of Jesus' bodily resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead in his body. And by the way, let me say this to you as well. All Christian churches and denominations believe in Jesus' resurrection body, and also in believers' resurrection, including Roman Catholics, Greek Orthodox, Anglicans, Baptists, Presbyterians, and so on and so forth. If you don't believe this, you are entirely outside the Christian realm. But why was Jesus raised from the dead? Why did the Son of God come from heaven and become man for us and for our sinners? Why did he die for us? Why was he raised for his people? And because Jesus died and was raised for his people, therefore his people are united to him in his resurrection. They are in union with Christ, therefore they shall be raised because of Jesus' bodily resurrection. Now that underlines for us, what does it mean to believe in Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? We don't just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we do that. The New Testament says, even though in the translation we miss it so often, we believe into Jesus. The Greek preposition so often is into, E-I-S, we believe into Jesus. When we believe into Jesus, we are united to Christ's body and soul. Our souls belong to Him. Our bodies belong to Him. That's why Christian people say and make this great effort, we're going to glorify God in our bodies as well as in our souls. And if you go back to question 37, it says, when believers die, their bodies are still united to Christ. The Westminster Solid Catechism, since 1647, more than 350 years now, isn't it, has been memorized and studied and loved by Christian people all over the world. And in many Christian funerals, Christian people remember question 37. And they look at the grave, they look at the coffin, they look at the corpse, and they say, this body is still united to Christ. This body shall be raised one day when Jesus comes again. We saw this body in disgrace, dishonor. My dear friends, there's nothing more ugly of a human face than a dead body's face. We can put cosmetic, but it's dead. You put cosmetic on a 60-year-old woman, that woman may look like 26. You put cosmetic, no matter how thick, on a dead person, is still in shame. But that body belongs to Christ if he or she is a Christian. And that body shall be raised gloriously. And that body shall look beautiful, not just again, but as it has never been before. You ladies, let me say this, if you belong to Christ, one day you shall be more beautiful than ever before. And people will say this to you, I never know, she is so beautiful. So my dear friends, we must make sure that we are truly united to Christ. Don't be a Christian by name only. We can be known as Christians. We can come to church. We can be baptized. We can take the Lord's Supper. We can go to Bible study. We can come to worship. But make sure you come to Christ. You come into Christ and are united to Christ in truth. And what a blessed thing it is with the resurrection of the body. It's not just beautiful, but it is healthy and strong. For those of us who are getting on, what a blessing that will be. You young ones who know nothing of illness or physical weaknesses, you will not be able to appreciate this as some of us older ones who struggle with aches and pains and illnesses. The resurrection body shall be perfectly healthy and strong. And then if you know anything about sin and temptation, you know it is this body of sin that has tempted us and dragged us to failure, to dishonoring God, and we wish we have a body that can resist any temptation and sin. Glorious bodies to serve and praise and enjoy God forever. Do you long for that, my dear friends? In this body we are so often weak. Weak in physical strength. Weak in the sense of being tempted to sin. How many sins are prompted and brought about by our physical body? Lust, anger, you name it. So the first benefit believers are going to get when Christ comes again is the resurrection. Secondly, judgment. We go to Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus says here, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. And then the judgment. When you look at Matthew 25, and when you remember Jesus said this on the last week, in the last week of His life, isn't this amazing? Jesus knew He was going to be killed. He knew He was going to be crucified on a cross. And yet He can say with such confidence and certainty, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, one day I shall come back in My glory, and the angels with Me are be sitting on the throne of My glory. And all the nations shall be brought before Me. All the nations, Australia, Japan, India, Singapore, China, Africa is not a country, but all the nations in Africa, Canada, all the nations shall be brought before Christ, and He shall be the judge. And everyone shall be judged by what he or she has done in the body. This is a solemn thought, isn't it? My dear friends, all of us shall appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And we have to give an account of all that we have done in this body. You know, when we waste time, when we muck around, when we sin in this body, when we use our body to serve God, all these things one day shall be accounted for. That is really something awful, isn't it? Some of us are younger ones, others are older ones. As we look back 20 years, 30 years, and try to remember, we don't remember much, isn't it? Some of us have gone to university. If we are asked, what have you learned in university? 3 years there, in Sydney, in Armadale, elsewhere, what have I learned? I can only tell you, I learned credit and debit. Forgot all about the statistics. Forgot all about the law. Forgot almost everything about auditing. So what have I done? 3 years. I know sometimes I fell asleep during lecture, But still, I managed to get a few passes and the rest, you know, whatever. Other than passes not failing, we don't remember much. But on the day of judgment, we shall be judged by all that we do. And in our catechism answer here, it says, believers will be publicly recognized by Christ and declared not guilty on the day of judgment. That is what we mean by justification. Declared not guilty. As we believe in Christ now, we are told that we are justified, we are declared not guilty, and in our conscience, in our hearts, we are assured of that. But that is a private justification. When Christ shall come again, there shall be a public acknowledgement. The Lord Jesus Christ should say to each one of us, you are justified, provided that we are indeed in Christ. But then, as we heard what David read to us in Matthew 25, we may ask questions. How come it seems judgment is by works? Jesus said to those on his right, well, you have done what is right in visiting me, in ministering to me, in serving me. And to the left, you don't care about me. You don't care about my people. Yes, my dear friends, listen carefully. Salvation is by grace. Judgment is by works. Let me say this again. Salvation is by grace. Judgment is by works. So how do you explain? Does it not mean that salvation is by works after all? By what we do, by visiting people, doing good, giving to the poor? No. The Bible tells us if we have true faith in Christ, that true faith in Christ will change the way we live and how we relate to others and what we do. A true faith in Christ will not leave us unchanged. It will change us. And at the day of judgment, we shall be judged by whether we have authentic, true faith or not. And this is an awesome thought. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself teaches us this. On that day, there shall be many ministers, Christians who perform miracles, great Christian workers who shall be cast out. Why? Because in this body, in this life, they did not live as truly born again people should be. They have not genuine faith. Oh, my dear friends, how awful that is, isn't it? No matter how much we serve the Lord, no matter how well I can preach and how well you serve Christ, that cannot save us. But a true faith in Christ will change us, and we must examine ourselves whether we are in Christ. Because, my dear friend, when we do that now, if we are not sure, what can we do? We can repent. We can seek salvation at the Lord's hand. It is always okay. It's always good if we can go to the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm not sure whether I'm truly born again, whether I'm a true Christian. Would you please work in me? Give me a new heart. Give me the new life. Oh, give me the new birth. Receive me. Save me. As the prodigal son, perhaps, as the elder brother, perhaps, as a sinner, as a Pharisee, no matter what is my situation, Lord Christ, receive me. And His promise is, He will receive us if we seek Him and His salvation. But then we will be very foolish. We'll be very foolish if we say, well, of course I'm a Christian. Of course I'm a Christian. I'm brought up in the Christian family. I come to church twice every Sunday. I attend 5 Bible studies every week. I read 100 Christian books every year. I take the Lord's Supper every week. Some people do that. Some people go to worship every day. Of course I am. You may or may not be a true believer after you've done all those things. So make sure that we are true believers. Make sure that we are true Christians. And thirdly, the enjoyment of God forever. You know, my dear friends, God is a happy God. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord. And the purpose of salvation in Christ is that we should come to be completely happy in the full enjoyment of God forever. God gave Himself to us that we may find our joy in Him. God gave Himself to us that we may find our joy in Him. And you remember how the Shorter Catechism starts with the first question. What is the chief end of man? The primary purpose of man, of human existence, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And after that question, one question after another, lead us to question 38. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has been talking about the fall of man, the redemption of Christ, and how Christ saved His own chosen people. And now it comes to the finale. The chief end of man is at last fulfilled completely. You know, friends, in a sense, the Shorter Catechism can stop and conclude question 38. It doesn't, because it goes on to teach us to live the Christian life, the believer's life on earth. We're not yet in heaven, so we need to know how to live on earth. And that's why it got question 39 to question 107. And my dear friends, can I sum up the message of the Bible to you in this way? This is the story of the Bible. By creation, we are made to enjoy God. My dear friends, we are made to be a happy people. That's why we naturally pursue happiness and joy. Because we are made to be happy. We are not made to be miserable. But by sin, we choose not to enjoy God. That's why, again, naturally, now we choose to enjoy anything but God. It may be good things, it may be bad things, but by sin, we choose not to enjoy God. Some people enjoy gambling. Some people enjoy working. Some people enjoy cheating. Some people enjoy something hard. Some people enjoy having 4 wives. Some people enjoy just have 1. Some people enjoy not having a wife. But by sin, we choose not to enjoy God as our supreme joy. But by grace, we are born again and begin to enjoy God. We begin to find our joy and delight in God, but as we know ourselves, rather poorly and imperfectly. We condemn ourselves. How come my joy in God is so small? Finally, by the end, believers shall enjoy God fully forever. My dear friends, are you still in stage two? In sin? Or are you still in, or are you, have you come to stage three in grace? And remember this, those who are in grace shall be in glory one day. What a blessed thing it is to be a Christian. Tonight, oh friends, if you're holding back from Christ, you're holding back from joy, and you're choosing sorrow. Don't do that. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we pray that we may know the joy of the Lord and the joy in Christ and the joy in delighting in you and serving you. We are not saved by serving you, but we are saved to enjoy serving you. So bless us, O God, bring each one of us to yourself, that one day, with glorious change of resurrection body, we shall enjoy you forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray.